Okay. Where were you at when you first were involved with the war?
Well, it was my hometown, Belladra. And the first thing that I remember was when my mother got the letter, the black letter that my dad got killed, and that was July 4th, 1944. And after that, I don't know how many months later, we still stayed in there in Yugoslavia till the Russians came in. And by the end of the war, the Russians went back out and the Serbian people took us all, took everything away from us. And then they took us to a camp. The camp was called Selesh. And we stayed there for months there. I don't know for how long exactly. Then we went from Selesh. They took us in 1945, January the 20th, from town to town. They picked all the German people up in the open cattle wagon, and it took us 3 days to get from Selesh to Rudolfsnacht. That was the camp, the destroy camp, they called it.
Now, where was all this located? I know Belladra is in the most eastern side of Yugoslavia.
I don't know how many miles Rudolfsnacht was from Belladra, but
that's moving more northwest in Yugoslavia?
I would say yes.
Okay.
But anyway, I remember January 20th when they put us from Selesh, they put us in the cattle wagons, and in every town then they stopped and picked up the German people.
Mm-hmm.
And it took us 3 days actually to get to Rudolfsnacht, because every town we had to stop and pick up the German people and put them all to Rudolfsnacht, where they had us all fenced in.
Yeah.
And then when we was in Rudolfsnacht, we stayed there till 1947, and that's, I think what they said, there was 28,000 people there. And in 1947, 1948, when we got out of there, when they put most of the people on forced labor, there was only 8,500 that was left.
Wow. And, what happened to all those people?
Well, most of them died because they was all young kids and old people.
Starvation
camp. That's what it was called. It was called the starvation camp, actually. Yeah. And I remember when we first got there, there were so many people. I think there was 28,000 people there. And when we got there, there was 27, 28, 29 of us in one room. And there was no beds or nothing. We just all slept on the floor. And after a year or so, then we got to get a whole room for six of us, because everybody, died and stuff. So there was all kinds of room back there then.
How big were these rooms?
Well, it was probably about 12 by 12, I would say.
And the one, how many people in there?
That one was bigger, yeah. That was a bigger one, yeah. But the one that we got later, six of us, that was about 12 by 12 here, yeah. So, but that was, I think the UMA got it, the room for us, because it was right next to the not a morgue, but we just every day that horse and buggy guy came and got picked all the dead people up and brought it next to us in that house,
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Chris and I, whenever it was raining, we used to go in there and play there in that house where all the dead people was, and the kids too, with us in that other house.
What did you do? I mean, as kids, what did you do to pass time by? You were there for 3 years.
The only bad thing was we were always hungry, but we still played,
That's more of it as it is, besides the dead bodies that you play with. I mean,
We didn't have nothing to play with. We just made our own toys and singing and stuff most of the stuff that we did is build traps and go with slingshots and trying to kill birds so we have something to eat besides the corn mush,
What about the adults? What did they do? I mean, what was their typical day?
there wasn't too many adults. It was all old people and young kids, you know. So there wasn't too many of them.
Is it because of the way they divided you?
Yeah, right.
Really? The, where did the majority of the adults go to then?
The adults, they put them to labor camps and took them to Russia. Most of the young, let's say about 16 on up, you know, the 50, they took them to Russia. On Yugoslavians had some too, you know, for forced labor. Like,
so that's what happened to your sister Teresa?
Teresa went to Siberia, yeah.
Okay.
And the only reason my mother, she was, well, back then, what, she was about 37 or 40, something like that. The only reason she got to go with us, because when we separated the kids from the other people, from the, you know, the younger ones, she knew the guy that separated all the women. She knew my dad, and my mother went over there and told him that, you know, look at, they're so skinny and they're sick anyway, why don't you let them go with me, you know, or I go with them. So he says, are you from Belgium, Chris, Michael's wife? She said, yeah. He says, go ahead, go. But the only thing, he didn't tell her that you're going to a death camp, you know, so she let her go. That's the only reason that we actually stayed alive, because Roma was with us, my mother,
know.
You know.
I remember you telling me that she wound up being a cook.
Yeah.
How did she manage to do all this? How did she cook my
friends? She was one of the younger people there, you know, because of that she got to go with us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they was looking for the people, you know, the cook and stuff for us. But, man, it was an easy cook job. All they did is cook corn mush, and corn mush.
Really? Is that why you refuse to eat grits now?
Chris won't eat corn yet. That's for pigs.
Oh, I can imagine. 3 years. Yeah. This is my favorite food. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Just so we haven't gone over this yet. Now, you were German,
yet
you were taking, what kind of concentration camp was it?
Serbians. The partisans, they called them the partisans back then, because rebelling, because Germany, you know, was occupied by Germany till the last of the war, you know. And when Germany lost the war, then the Russians went out of Yugoslavia, and the Serbians did that to us, you know, they put us all in camps.
Okay, and this was all after the war.
After the war, yeah.
Now, why do you think, how did this happen? With Tito and everything, how do you think this still wound up?
Well, I don't know what the heck they tried to do. Maybe they tried to do the same thing what Hitler did to the Jews, but they did the same thing to us, you know.
Yeah.
And then after 39 months, then Willie was still alive, you know. They let us go, and then the younger, by that time, the kids like myself, and he was older already, 15 years old, they put them on a forced labor camp for another 3 years. And that's when my brother, Chris and Oma, my mother, they had to go for 3 years forced labor camp.
So it wasn't for a full 6 years, so you guys were actually totally let go?
Right.
All right. Actually, I have a question from way before then. What, besides your father getting the letter notice that he was killed in the war, what else, what other family members were involved?
Oh, I had a bunch of cousins killed, yeah. And my grandfather, he died in a concentration camp. Yeah, but a lot of our cousins, you know, they got killed in the war, plus the
fighting for the Germans.
Right. See, the thing was, my uncle now, Uncle Chris, he was the youngest one. He was in the Serbian army before the Germans came in. And then the Germans came in, he had to switch uniforms. He took the Serbian uniform off, and he had to take the German uniform and fought against them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what was done too while the war was going on, you know, my dad used to go, you know, in the German army. And the Serbians, he was partisans, he had their own army already, and my dad came home, and they was neighbors. I mean, they went away and fought against each other, and they came home, and, you know, they was drinking and eating and stuff together.
Hmm.
It was ridiculous.
And was your town directly involved in the war?
Well, there was the only thing that I remember when the the Germans were still there, but not the army, but just the German, the police and all that was there. And then the partisans, one night, you know, we was out there looking, and you could see the grenades and all that. It just lit up, and killed quite a few, each other, you know. But it wasn't actually the army. It was just the Serbian partisans against the German police, you know.
Okay.
So,
Okay. Well, while you were in the concentration camp, how, if any, did you get any education? How did Oma try and help you out?
Well, Oma we was lucky because she always got a little extra food for us, and Chris and I, we used to set traps and stuff, and as a matter of fact, there was German people, after it was all enclosed with barbed wire fence, and I remember Chris and I, we didn't have enough mush even to eat, so we went in where the pig used to be, and there was always, pigs pass corn that is not, digested. And we used to take that, wash it out, and take it and cook it again and eat it,
That was your food, huh? Corn around.
Why do you think Chris doesn't eat no corn?
I can't imagine. I'm surprised you do. There's no way you'd get meat.
But I remember eating horse meat that was buried for a whole week. It was green, and Chris and I cut some out of it, and we took it home, and we cooked it, and smell. Cow, was it stinking? But after it was cooked, we ate it anyway.
And you didn't get sick?
Nope. And get sick. Well, see, we always thought, heck, the gypsies, they used to come in Yugoslavia all the time. If you had a dead chicken, you threw it out or buried it. 2-3 days later, them gypsies came and got it, and they never got sick, so we did the same thing. Eat cat meat, dog meat. If they could get some dogs, if a dog came from the Yugoslavian people through the fence, he never made it back to on the other side again.
Wow.
Yeah.
No wonder why you eat so many rare meats now.
Yeah.
But about the education, I know that you were back and forth between, what was it, Serbian and Hungarian?
Hungarian, yeah. See, I was 7 years old and I was just going to start school. And that's when we went to...
So you were taken in right away before you could start your education.
So actually, I was 11 years old when I came out of there. And then, my mother and Chris was still in forced labor, and I was with them for a year. And then I had to walk about 4.5 miles, something like that, every day back and forth to school. And then Oma thought, in the winter time, she was afraid, So she took me over to Martin's mom, my aunt, and that's where I went then, from there. But when I went over there, I had to switch from the Hungarian school, I had to go to Serbian school. So I had a year for there, then they switched me back again because the Serbians didn't want an ethnic cleansing, they didn't want the Hungarians because they got rid of all the Germans, so they didn't like the Hungarian language, so they forced us in the Serbian school, But then later, they let me go back to Hungarian school again. So the last 2 years I finished in 1 year. That's all I had is 4 years of school,
How did you learn going back and forth? Did you have more of a background in all those languages ahead of time?
I spoke all three languages when I was 3-4 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
Because of Oma, or?
No, because there was one neighbor was Hungarian, the other one was Serbian, and we were just right with them.
So all the cultures around you.
All the cultures, right?
Okay.
That was one good thing that we did speak all the languages, because when we was in concentration camp, Uncle Chris, we used to play right by the fence, and we dug a hole, and Uncle Chris used to sneak underneath it and ran over to the Serbians and to the Hungarian people, and he was begging for food, And then but we could not tell that to my mother because, she was afraid that he was going to beat his butt.
You never got caught?
Nope.
Wow.
He did that quite a few times, too.
Yeah.
But he was all...
Did you ever wind up getting to him?
Oh, yeah. But he couldn't take it home to Omaha, show it to Omaha, because the kid, we was playing there, the older, like Uncle Chris, and there was a couple of them 13 years old, you know. He snuffed too, and the rest of us played there, so the guards, you know, you just thought, heck, it's just kids, you know. And he snuck across and went begging for food, and then came back, and we ate it all right there. Wow. Yeah.
So, obviously, Chris had communication outside of the camp.
A little bit, yeah.
How did you? Was there any communication outside of the camp? I mean...
Not really, no.
No?
No. The only, the last year, they allowed for some people to bring some food in, like your relation, you know, like whoever was married, a German who was married to a Serbian or to a Hungarian, he did not have to go to camp. So after the last year of the camp, then people could come and bring the food. So the last year wasn't that bad anymore, you know.
Okay. How about holidays or birthdays? Were they recognized at all? Did you have the opportunity to?
No, actually, what could you have, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, what about, did you recognize Christmas?
You recognized it, but you didn't have nothing,
yeah,
you know.
There was something to celebrate with.
I remember we went to the, Chris and I used to go to the police, the police station was in there, the police that watched us, you know, and stuff. And they peeled the potatoes, and Chris and I used to go and get the peelings off the dump, you know, and take it home, and we made a fire, and we fried that, and we ate that stuff, you know.
Speaking of the, security, were those also Serbians?
Yes, that was mostly Serbians.
How was their treatment towards you?
Well, the only bad thing was once Chris shot up by a doctor, there was a doctor on the outside of the fence, and his apple trees was hanging across, and Chris had a slingshot, and he shot a couple of apples down, you know. And we just lived not too, you know, our house was not too far, so he must have knew who it was because the cops came, you know, and got him. And they put him, it was in July, it was hot as heck, and they put him up in the attic, you know. He had to stay in the attic with three, four other kids. And they had to beat each other every day. You know,
they made the kids
beat
each
other. Yeah, and if you didn't beat good enough, then the guy took it over, you know. And I remember, I was about eight, maybe nine already then, and I used to tie strings. I had some strings, and I tied it together because he was up in the attic, and I tied some strings, and I kept throwing it up till Chris grabbed it. And then I made some cornbread. Mm-hmm. And I put some in a little rag, and he pulled it up up there in the stuff. Yeah. Usually the little kids didn't bother that much, you know.
What about the adults?
No, the other adults, they had to work. When the kids got older and they could work anything, they took it. I remember we used to go after the farmers took us out after they cut the wheat, and we had to go and pick up the, you know, by hand, whatever we missed and take it in. And I know we used to put some in our pockets, bring it back in. But that was later around already, you know, last year. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit more lenient in the last year. The first 2 years, most of your people that lived real good, that was rich, first year they all died.
They didn't know how to survive, they had it too easy beforehand.
Right.
Yeah. I remember you saying that Omar tried to escape a couple times.
Yeah, twice. As a matter of fact, at one time we stayed away by one of our cousins.
What do you mean by away?
Well, we got through the fence, and then we walked to the first town, and our cousin, he lived in, not too far from our town, and he took us with him. And we had to stay inside all the time, you know. Every time somebody came, we had to go under the bed or something, you know.
Yeah.
And we stayed there for about 5 weeks, and then he was afraid that he was going to catch him, you know. Mm-hmm. So we had to go back. So we went back to camp. But we was lucky, because when we went back, that one lady that lived in the same room with us, you know, she was like the secretary, you know. Mm-hmm. And when we got there, she saw us, and she's, go home, go home. You know, so we went back in the same house, and she put us back in the books. You know. So
wow. We
got it pretty good on that one.
When was this? How long about were you there?
About 5 weeks we was gone, you know, by my cousin, and then we had to come back.
I mean, once you were in the camp, how long after was this that you tried to escape the first
time? That was probably a year and a half after we was there for about a year and a half. We tried to sneak through. And see what happened. Well, Robbie was by my cousin. He was supposed to get the guy to take us across the border, you know, to Romania. And when that night that we were supposed to go across, the guy got killed, and the guy who smuggled the people across, he got killed, so we had to go back.
Was he caught, or how did he get killed?
Well, he was running across the border, and we shot him. We shot the four people plus him that he was going to take across the border. You know.
Maybe it's a good thing that could have been you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, he was supposed to go next day, because he did that on a pretty regular basis, you know.
Yeah.
And then we had to go back, and that's when he was afraid, and we had to go back to the camp. So
how long after your first try did you try again?
That was stupid, actually, what Omar and that other lady did. They just went to the railroad station. They thought they had money already, a little bit of money from what Yulchanani and Agnes, you know. He brought some money, so we tried to escape, and we went one evening, we just went to the railroad station. I don't know what they thought, but they thought we were just going to hop the train and take off. And he was there. And all of a sudden, a cop came, took us all back. He slapped them around on the way home, but he let us go back. You know.
They weren't too violent, were they? And when you got back, what happened then?
Well, we just took us back, you know, because... I mean, that was kind of dumb what we did. But
is that the roundabout time you said they were getting a little more relaxed?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So what happened? When did you finally get out?
Well, in late 47, 48, something. I don't know the time exactly, but when we got out. But that's when they put us in. Well, my mom and Chris, they put us to forced labor camp for another 3 years, you know, 2.5, 3 years, something like that. It was in forced labor camp. And that's when I went to my aunt, you know.
Do you think anybody really knew that this was going on?
No.
That Germany got away with it.
Yeah, Germany lost the war, and, you know, that, you know, you only brag about who wins the war. You never say nothing about who loses the war when people
but
them people.
Nobody realized that in your life there was still a war going on.
Right. But like you said, when the Russians actually came in, you know, one thing I gotta say, the Russian people is really good to kids. I mean, if you knew you had kids, he used to go and steal stuff, chickens and whatever they could catch, and bring it over here to feed the kids. But he was always really neat to the kids, you know, the Russian soldiers.
The Russians' part in Yugoslavia was basically, you said, to join the Serbians, push the Germans out, and then they left?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so the Russians really had nothing to do with your encampment?
No.
Okay.
No, they just took, but not with us, but they did take a lot of, I don't know how many thousands of people they took to Russia, the workforce.
Oh, okay.
You know,
that's
so
what
that's where my sister came in. Yeah.
And all this while, you said Mary had it fortunate because she was living in Germany?
Germany, yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, she was a lucky one.
How did you guys reunite?
Well, we didn't know for 10 years. Like, we didn't know that Teresa was alive for 10 years, you know. And Mary... I think we found out about 8 years later that she was alive, and Mary was the one that found us through Red Cross, and then she found out where Teresa was, you know, through Red Cross too. And once we found out through Red Cross that Teresa was in Russia, then Teresa escaped to, you know, they brought him from Siberia, they brought him, I don't know what town, to And there was kind of lenient back then already. They just let them go anyway. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. But Teresa, she had it bad. I mean, she was, when she came to Germany, she was, I mean, her legs was like that, you know, swollen all water. And it was in a tar mine. They worked them in a tar mine.
Why were her legs swollen?
I don't know. That was they used to call them the elephant legs. You know, they dug water, and Martin had the same thing. You know?
Huh.
Yeah. But I don't know what caused it. Probably no salt or salt. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was Mary that found Teresa. Or?
Yeah, right. Mary was the one that went through Red Cross and got everything, kind of got us back together again, and. After, like I said, after my mom and Chris, we got out of forced labor camp, and then we started to come, started the paper to come to Germany. So, then we had to work, to pay off the citizenship, because you couldn't leave Yugoslavia, even as a German. They wanted you out, but you had to pay off your citizenship before they let you go. As a matter of fact, I'm still a dual citizen. I'm a citizen over there.
Of Yugoslavia?
Yeah.
Really?
Even I'm a citizen here in the U.S., but they would not recognize as a child that you can give up your citizenship, you know, because you wasn't full mind or whatever they call it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so if I would go back there right now, they could make me either pay it off or keep me there for a while.
Really?
Right.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Well, I'm just curious. I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but how do you feel about Hitler and his actions? Do you agree? Did you agree with it?
Heck no. Omar didn't even want to hear his name. You know, the only thing Omar, when we first came to U.S., and, you know, we all saw them Hitler movies and all that stuff, you know, all the time, Nazis. She says, how in the heck can people hate a whole nation because of one myth, you know?
Yeah.
Because Germany was hated. I mean, it was hated because of one stupid myth, you know?
Yeah.
It's nuts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, in a way, isn't that what Omar did? I mean,
yeah.
He said Russian, and
yeah.
She start going off, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
So, after the forced labor camp, what happened with you and the family then?
Well, after forced labor camp, then we moved back in our town where we were born all. And then left Belgium. That's when we, all three of us, worked and to get the money so we can buy our tickets and pay off the citizenship so that we can come to Germany.
Okay, then, so where did you and Teresa and Mary meet? Was it in Germany?
Yeah, we met, well, as a matter of fact, when we started our papers that come to Germany, they was in Germany already then.
Oh.
And then we started the papers out for U.S. And when we got our papers to come to Germany, they got their papers to come to U.S. So we didn't see each other again. You know?
Oh, geez.
So, as a matter of fact, it wasn't 12 years that we didn't know. We didn't see each other for 10 years. But it was about 5 years that we didn't know that he was alive. Yeah.
So,
right.
A couple months
yeah.
would be too long to
right.
not know.
But then, like I said, then we got our papers in 53 to come to Germany. And they got their papers in 53 to come to the U.S. And we missed each other. But then...
Okay.
And then we started, as soon as we got to Germany, we started our papers right away to come to the U.S. And it took us three and a half years to get our papers to come to the U.S. because back then there was still a quota, you know.
Yeah.
And like I said, when I took my citizenship here, they know more about my history than I do.
Yeah.
In the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that's what made it? Another factor that made it so difficult for you to come here, the fact that you were German? Did you face any discrimination coming over here?
No, they just wanted to know what your parents, what the position they had in the German army, you know.
Yeah.
That was the main thing that he was
after. Well, did that affect you with your dad?
Not really, because he was dead, so, you know, he got killed, so, yeah.
So what part of the war did he play?
What do you mean?
What did he do in the war?
Well, he was regular, just he was SS uniform, you know, like they call it the Secret Service, but it was SS.
Okay.
Uniform, but he wasn't the black SS, he was the uniform SS, you know.
Okay. Hey, so when did you said, when did you come to the U.S. finally?
Then we got in Germany in 53, and then in 1956, October the 16th, we came to U.S.
And did you finally meet up with Teresa and Mary?
Oh yeah, while he was in Germany, he was out here for about 3 years, and he came once to Germany to see us.
No, really?
While he was here, yeah. He saved enough money and he came to see us, both of them, Mary and Teresa.
Oh.
And then, yeah, that's when, you know, we saw us the first time each other. Since 1944 till 1955, I think it was.
What was that like? I'm sure that was strange, though,
oh, yeah.
Your sisters,
yeah,
right. They must have looked so different.
Yeah,
too.
I was 7 years old, you know.
Yeah, and you were
then,
how old
then? I was
18.
Yeah, that
would have been strange. But, okay, like I was saying, is there anything you have left from the war? I remember that you said everything was taken away from you, except for...
The only thing that my mom had left was that one letter, and I don't know, you know, part of the letter.
Yeah,
and,
the black letter.
The black letter where Dad got killed. And that's the only thing, and that was just pieces of it. It was so wore off that you could hardly see what the heck it was. But when we got to Germany, she went in a Rathaus, I don't know what you call it here. But, you know, to show them that my dad did get killed in the German army. So that's why she got the German pension, the war pension.
Yeah.
And she got the war pension until she died, actually, you know.
Yeah,
she got the war pension from Germany here, too. So, yeah.
Was that any significant amount of money?
It was $400-some a month.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Huh. And the other thing is that I can remember when we got to when we went to Germany, then they wanted to know, you know, after the war, what we had, you know, if we was rich or whatever we had, and we did get some money that the Yugoslavians had to pay to Germany because they took everything away from all the Germans. And most of them died in the war and in the concentration camp. So the dead, the survivors from the German families, did get paid for their homes, but, you know, just about one-tenth what it was worth, you know.
Yeah.
So, oh my God, some money out of our stuff that we had, but I think it was only about 4,000 or 5,000 marks, you know. Back then, that was about $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I was in 53, 54. Well, actually, that reminds me, you said that you left basically with the shirts on your backs, and that was it.
Yeah, right.
How did that work with clothing then, too?
You mean when they first picked us up? Yeah.
Well, throughout the years, I mean, you were 7 years old to 10 years old, you obviously grew. What happened with clothing?
All them people dying, you just took theirs.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah. I remember... I probably told you that before, but when we was 28 of us in that room, we used to sleep like sardines, and to keep each other warm in the wintertime, we just laid next to each other, and that one old lady, she, you know, she hugged me like that, and in the morning, she was dead, and Oma had to pry me out of her hands. She, you know, just tried to hold each other warm, you know,
Did you obviously you had nothing, no one else to go to. Did you make a lot of friendships?
Well, there was kids there, you know, my age, but most of them was, you know, real small kids. They all died right away anyway. The kids were there, They were so skinny, they had hair like peach fuzz all over their faces, and they tried to eat grass and everything, you know, well, because they didn't have their mother or nobody with them, you know. The mother could have been a young lady that had a two-year-old kid or something, so they took her to Russia, and the kids came in that concentration camp, that the destroy camp, you know. That's where the it was called the destroy camp, because they wanted to kill all the old people, not kill them, but starve them to death. Starvation camp.
Yeah.
The young kids and the old people. Yeah.
Yeah.
They wanted to get rid of them all. So they did a damn good job.
So, do you believe that Omar is the reason why you all survived?
Oh yeah, yeah. Plus, Chris and I was aggressive all the time. I mean, correctly, like I said, we went and we caught birds and we, you know, anything that we could. We had slingshots. You know how we got the slingshot? Some of the old people that had rubber bands for to hold their stockings up and stuff. We snatched them off and we made slingshots out of it. Yeah. We went around. The birds was even smart already, man. You go around and the birds see you with that slingshot, you took her off. Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah. Okay. I guess that's it. You said basically the only things you have are because neighbors and relatives,
yeah,
what
right,
they kept
right,
for you
mm-hmm.
when you came back home, they
right.
gave it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you have, even though you didn't get them personally, like through the war, downstairs, I know you have helmets and stuff. What else do you have?
Well, you had some bayonets and guns and helmets and stuff like that from the war. That, you know.
Well, from the German side or both sides?
Both sides, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What else? I know those helmets are the German helmets?
Yeah, I got a German and an American helmet. Yeah. And I got the guns from U.S. and I got some guns from Japan and, you know, from German.
Yeah.
I even got some stuff from Kaiser Wilhelm. Kaiser Wilhelm?
Yeah,
I don't know. He was before Hitler.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
You know that Kaiser Wilhelm, Hogan Hayes,
yeah.
You know?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we're done. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.